whether we're excited or without excitement, and we saw that actually Rav didn't become excited. He didn't lose his temper, didn't become emotionally excited. In other words, he was intellectually irritated. So they had an answer because the manner in, because the, his answer betrayed an intellectual irritation. So in other words, how can that be explained? In other words, because there is aloche, le'ilo milamid odom li'talmide b'loshim tzor. So of course, the Gemara says, le'ilo milamid odom li'talmide b'loshim tzor. But the Gemara doesn't say, le'ilo milme talmid mirabi b'loshim tzor. Because as far vis-a-vis a Talmud, we cannot tell him, you know, how he is to formulate his questions. Because the Talmud has to learn, has yet to learn. So we can tell him, we can tell a Talmud guidelines how to learn. A Rebbe, we can tell guidelines how to teach. But the Talmud has to ask the questions in the way he finds it best to express himself. If it's Loshim Tzor, it's Loshim Tzor. If it's Loshim Arucho, it's Loshim Arucho. But Mashein came vis-a-vis Talmidim like Rav Kana v'Ravase, who are Rebbein themselves. So the halacha of Leilom Yilamid Odom li Talmidim Loshim Tzor applies to them too. So because they were Chachmi Yisrael. So in other words, when they had to present the Shaila, when Rav Kana v'Ravase had to present the Shaila before Rav, so they were also bound by certain halachas, just as a Rebbe. He's bound by certain halachas. In other words, he has to work hard in order to formulate the halacha b'loshin tzor rather than the b'loshin arucho. So vis-a-vis Rav Kana v'Ravase, when they had to learn the halacha from Rav, they also had to present the shaila b'loshin tzor. So memele, it involved the halachic question. I mean, how are they to formulate their question before Rav? Are they to formulate? Of course, they could have Biloshna Rucho, they could have formulated, they could have asked the question in regard, spell out the question in regard to the case of one rib, and then they could have spelled out the question in regard to two ribs. So what, Rav would have become excited? Okay, so he did become excited. I mean, nothing happened. No danger in Rav becoming excited. So why did they have to resort to so much chives, I mean, and present and formulate the question in such a way that they would understand an answer for both cases? The answer is because there is a loche of Leilo Milami Dodom L'Talmid Goshim Tzor, but it doesn't apply to a regular Talmid. A regular Talmid who has yet to learn, so he is entitled and he should present this question in the way that suits him best. So if it suits him best to be marir b'ushene and to talk for an hour, so let him formulate it that way. But in regard to Rav Kana v'Ravase, to the Chachmei Yisrael, so they were bound al pedim to formulate their questions to Rav b'loshim tzor. So what would be b'loshim tzor? So formulating the question in regard to the case of two ribs would involve a minimum of talking. So that's why they formulated it. Now, so according to Rav, we see from this Gemara that according to Rav, there are two alochas. One aloha in regard to one tzela and part of the vertebra being dislocated, then it's straightened. Then it's straightened. And another aloha in regard to both sloi, zeken and getzeh, with part of the vertebra on each side being dislocated, even though in the middle it remains intact, so then it's asuro and not reife, but the male. Now, so then we should expect the Rambam and the two, and the Mechaber and the Ramo, to pass in that aloha. So one aloha, the Rambam passes, the two passes. The Mechaber paskins, the Ramor of course paskins, everybody paskins, like Rav. In other words, they paskin that if it is, in other words, that if you don't have a dislocation of the vertebra, but just a dislocation of the rib, then you must have rov tzlois you must have. So in other words, like Rabbi Yochanan, 12 ribs. A dislocation of 12 ribs. But if you have a dislocation of one rib plus its vertebra, even though it's half of the vertebra, so then it's also clear that everybody passes. But we should expect all the Rishonim to pass another aloha of Rav too, because no one is arguing with Rav on that aloha. Rav Kanim and Rav Asa inquired, so they could not be considered as being chelik on Rav. They asked Rav, and obviously they accepted Rav's answer, because that was the purpose of their inquiry. So that aloha should also be mentioned by the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't mention that aloha. So the Lachem Mishneh. And it is amazing. I mean, such an apparent and obvious hashmote by the Rambam, because there's a big difference between treif and nevele. And the Rambam is mashmi that. So we would expect the Magid Mishneh to raise the question, and the Kesef Mishneh, no one raises the question except the Lachem Mishneh. And the Mechaber, the Kesef Mishneh, the Mechaber, they're the same person. So not only he doesn't raise any question as to why the Rambam is mashmi the other aloche, that if both slois together with part of the vertebra, so were dislocated, so then it's asur not, it's asur on the score of nevele. The Mechaber himself doesn't mention it. But Perik Yud Milche Shchita, Halocha Aleph, and Halocha Beis. Shvura Keitzat. Hu Shenishtapru Reif Tzal Yisrael. If most of the ribs were fractured, Utzloi Sabeimoi Nachases Remikam Vachases Remikam. Nishtapru Sheish Mikam Vishesh Mikam Oy Achases Remikam Vachas Mikam Trefei Paschas Lakabichne. So in other words, even we got a dislocation. You require a dislocation of 12 ribs. 11, it's a Greek shale. The posterior half. שהצלת קועה בו, הרי זו טריב. וכן אם נקרו, מן השטרה חול יחס, אפילו הויסו, תצטץ לגמור הפרדה, אפילו הויסו מן החוליה של למטו מן הקסולים, שאם בצלוץ לא יעיס, הרי זו טריב. אוקיי, תצטץ לגמור הפרדה. But anyway, the Rambam mentions, now the Beis, he mentions one din of Rav, that one tzela with half of the chulye dislocated makes the behemoth the treif. How about the other halacha? If both slois, zeh keneged zeh, and with part of the chulye being dislocated together with it, but in the middle it's, even though in the middle, it is intact, it's gisteret nevele, that the Rambam doesn't mention. So the Chamishna is the kash. The Chamishna. Oidom Roshom, binekra tzela uktas chulye mikam, vitzela uktas chulye mikam, ומצאויסו של חוליה קיימש, שהיא נבלה, ורואיסי שהזכירו רבינו בלחשכיתה, ששום ביה דין הנבלס, ולידעת אותם. Alright, so it's the Rambam, and the only one who is mashma tefai. But no one, I mean, all those who passed the halacha, the dinim of treifes, don't mention it. The Torah doesn't mention it. The Torah doesn't mention it. Simen Midawa. Now let's go over the whole simen in the Torah, simen in the Torah. So that will make it easier for us when we go over with the streifes in the day. Simen in the Torah. Nishtabu tzol yisei o treivi. Vihu she nishtabu rubo. Keitza. Habei mo yeish loch ovei slo yis deili she yeish bemeyach. Yudalef nikam, yudalef nikam. Vichol achas kuo bichul yesholo. Ulimato mei. Yeish lo eit slo yis Tannis, that's why the Gemara uses the expression mortar and pestle, because they are thrust in the chulin. So the way you put, you thrust a pestle in the mortar. V'chol achas kuyeh v'chol yishol. Ulimata mehen yeish lo eitz lo yis tannis. Shein v'meyach. Ulachas yichlo ka atzlo yis, yeish chul yeish eitz lo yis tkuyeh v'hem. Below the loins. Below the loin they are yeh. So then, you have vertebrae like this, up to the loin they are yeh. So you have two ribs attached to the vertebra. But below, in the lumbar, in the bottom portion of the lumbar area, in the vertebral column, so you don't have any tzlois attached to the vertebra. So he says, "Ulacha sheyichlu kol tzlois yesh chul yeshim tzlois tkuiz b'hem nishbaru rubon shel chol beis agdeles bein vov mitzad zeh v'shisha mitzad zeh o yudalev mitzad zeh v'yechot mitzad hashem nitreiv v'amedu amurim shel nishtaburu v'chetzin olamaylo klapi hashetra the posterior head. Avo lo nishtaburu rubon ush nishtaburu rubon v'chetzin klapi matok sheil v'im yekum nachulie v'achulie kayemes havikil nishtaburu nishtaburu tzlois aktaneis sheim bohem meyach sheil nekar tzela v'chotzi chulie imo treiv. Now, because of Rashbo, so the Rashbo Shita is that just as there is a distinction in regard to the case of Roif Tzlois between a Tzela that has marrow, Meach, and a Tzela that has no marrow, that is mentioned in the Gemara. But the Gemara doesn't mention that distinction in regard to the case of Neka Tzela v'chotze Chulye. Rav's Din, the Gemara doesn't mention Dafke, a Tzela, a tzela that has marrow, v'chotze chulia. So one could say, where it's nekar just, where it is just nekar, it's lois, without chulia, then there is a prerequisite that only tzlois that have meach, but not tzlois that have no meach. But in regard to the case where there is a dislocation, not only of the tzela, but of half of the vertebrae as well, it doesn't make any difference whether it has meyach or not, even a tzela that has no meyach. But as long as this, together with half of the vertebra, were dislocated, one eka, so it's treibe. So the Rashba says, the same distinction applies to the case of tzela mechotzechulia. Because of the Rashba, dafke matzlois agdilis, avu haktanei sheim ve meyach, avu neka tzela mechotzechulia ksheiro. But the Rosh is chelik. Vadeini obi o Rosh zal, lechilik vze. Nekho, further. If the whole vertebra was neka, no part of it remaining intact, so then it's also aso. That's the Gemara further. Anyway, so in Siman Dalet, the two discusses all the dinim about tzlois, neka tzlois, and chulias, everything. So we should mention the other din of Rav, that if it's both tzlois and both sides are neka together, with part of the chulye on each side being neka. So then, it's not just reife, then it's nevele. He doesn't mention it. And the mechaber doesn't mention it either. All right. Now, sin and dalet. Dinei treife salisel. Habeimo yesh lecho beis lois, delis, she yesh be meyach, yudalef mikam, v'chol achas, tkuo b'chul yesholo, ulmado mehen yesh eitz lois, tani shein be meyach, ulachas she kolok lats lois, yesh chul yesh eitz lois, tkuo yesh behen. Nish beru hubon shel chob beis ak delis, v'chetsu nomayu klap ha-shedre, v'shishu mitzadze, v'shishu mitzadze, o yudalef mitzadze, v'yachol mitzadze shein yitreil, v'yine koma achul yivach, v'yine kayem ezav, v'yine nishtab, nishtab, rutzlo yisak tani shein be meyach, sheir. Nekamats lois daily, sell a hotzihuli, him or train for. Vidafke neko, avol in mirakach, chaseiro koshe. Suppose the behemoth was born that way. So then, it's ksheiro. Veoadin in yiseiro huliachas, afin in base lois, kinshinim tzu in base lois daily, shinich be meyach koshe. Vichain in nimzo vizad echot, es wofts lois, vizad echot kitikon. So it's also koshe. Now, that the din of Rab, Nekro, no, that's the Gemara further. So the din of Rab, he mentioned in Sid Gimel, Nekam Atzlois, Deilis, Sela, Bechotzi, Cholim, Atreiv. How about the other din of Rab? that if both slides, second and say, with Mikza Sachulie being the Neka together with them, that is Neveva. Doesn't say, now, then it's Sivdalet, he says, Neka Chulie Achas Kula Ful Mesi Shem et Slois Leif, but there's the Gemara further. Vafiu Mato Bimokim Shem Psikas Chutz Hashet Repesel Shom. In Nishbu Hashet Re Vodim Sek Chutz Hashet Rechel. Where is that in? That is in the Rab. No one mentions. So obviously, they had another pshat than Rashi and Jesus. They had another pshat than Rashi and Jesus. Actually, this deen is not even mentioned in the Gemara. It's mentioned in the Gemara according to Rashi and Jesus' pshat. But the Gemara doesn't say it. Where does the Gemara say that according to Rav, if both slois were neka, together with part of the vertebra, on each side, even though in the middle, part of the vertebra remained intact, so then it's asuro and the scorpion. What does Gemara say that? Gemara doesn't say it. Gemara says, gistere kambi. And the Gemara that Chafalev says, gistere is nevel. But the Gemara that Chafalev, when the Gemara uses the expression gistere, the Gemara is reference to a case of decapitation, when the head was chopped off. So that then it's considered as mess. Human being, the behemoth, everything. It's considered as mess because the locomotion, the movements that you can detect in a balchai, in whom the head was chopped off, in the head was chopped off, so that is not considered as life. That is not considered as life. So, but, so that's gister. Now, but here the Gemara uses the same washing gister. So Rashi and Tetsu Shite is, since the Gemara uses the same washing as Dav Chof Alef, and there it's Nevela, so here too it's Nevela. But that doesn't prove it, because many times the same word is used in two different places in the Gemara, but it doesn't mean the same thing. The literal meaning of gister means cut asunder. So when you chop off the head of the Balchai, so the Balchai is cut asunder. When both slides together with part of the vertebra is neck out, is detached, is dislodged. So it also, you can also characterize it as cut asunder, but there is a big difference between this kind of cut asunder and the other kind of cut asunder. So the cut asunder of a decapitation, that's missing. But this cut asunder is not missing. But it displayed an intellectual limitation on the part of Rav, because he used this expression. That in itself showed a certain intellectual excitement on the part of Rav, because if Rav had not become intellectually irritated at the question presented by Rav Kahn and Rav Asseh, he would have said, Asur or Treif, why do you have to say, Gister, comrade? You are talking of a case where the behemoth was cut asunder. So in other words, so that showed to them, that not only does Rav hold in, that it's Treif in the case where one tzela with part of the vertebra war dislodged, one neka, that is treife. But even when one tzela was part of the vertebra war dislodged, neka, it's also treife, because if Rav's view had been that only the case where both slois had been neka, together with part of the vertebra and inside is treife. But when one tzela was part of the vertebra is neka, it's not treife, he would have said, Treif, why do you have to say Gister, comrade? So that showed that Rav held that it's Treif even in the case of one tzela. So he became excited and he said to him, what are you talking about? Two tzlois neka together with the vertebra. It's cut asunder, so you have any doubts as to whether it's Treif? Of course, that shouldn't even be asked. But even one tzela is Treif. But not that Rav meant that it's Nevele, but the fact that he used that expression, cut the thunder, showed that it shouldn't even be asked, the case of two tzlois. But what should be asked? The case of one tzela. So that means that the final analysis, so there is no difference in the din between the case of two tzlois together with part of the Holiye Bineka and the case of one tzala together with part of the Holiye Bineka. In both it's paper. But in one, Rav recognized the right of asking. In the other case, he felt that they should have known better and they shouldn't even have asked. But the answer is the same. So anyway, the Rav does not mention. He mentions that if one tzala and part of the chuli is nekar is treife. So of course, it's a kalchim of logic that if two tzvois can get it with part of the chuli on each side being nekar is treife. And the two doesn't have to mention it, and the mechava. So in other words, so that means that most Rishayim didn't explain the Gemara the way Rashi teaches. Why did Rashi teaches explain the Gemara that way? Because the expression gisteri is used. And that expression gisteri in the kofale is used in connection with decapitation, there it's the veil amount. Alright, the next one. Omar Rabbe Bar Shile, Omar Rav Masna Bar Shmuel, Nekra Tzela Mi Koro, if the rib was dislodged at its source, from its acre, because Gele Shelelbis of the Rubo, and if the skull of the Behemi was shattered in the major portion of it, Ubosar Achibes Ripakeres, Birube Trip. In other words, and he, the Bosar, the peritoneum, the membrane that covers the stomach, so was torn by Birube Sol Strip. Now, Nekotalamiko Trip. If one rib was neka, so is treife v'reminu kamo chisom v'shedre v'shama yemrim shtei chulis u'bisir leimrim chulia achas v'yom rabbi lama shmuel v'chem v'treife v'chem v'treife. So we see that Shmuel says that it is a treife in the case where the chulia, the vertebra, was neka. But not Zella. He emphasizes there, Chulia. Chulia means the vertebra. Zella is the rib. Zella is the rib. I mean, both consist of bones. But the ribs are attached to the bone in the vertebral column. You see? So we see that Shmuel emphasizes there that it's straightforward only if the Chulia was the car. And here, Shmuel, the same Shmuel, emphasizes that if the tzela is better. So the Gemara says, no, there is no stira. Both are true. Hosom chulie beloitza. Hosom chulie beloitza. Hosom chulie beloitza. Bishlein me tzela beloi chulie mishkachas. El chulie beloi tzela hecha mishkachas. How is it possible? To visualize chulia beloi tzela, in other words, if the chulia is nekar, so necessarily it must involve a dislocation, an akire, of the rib too. So the Gemara says, bishile kafa, below the loins. So then the anal tzloi is attached to the bone, to the vertebra. So then you have just a vertebra without any ribs attached to it. So if this vertebra in the lower portion of the lumbar area, I mean below the loins, so if that is neka, so it's also plain. Maski flora ravishim, listening that they call it bisham chumah bisilel, omri rav, because here it's also chumah bisilel, because bisilel say chuliachas. According to Bishamai, it will be a treife only if two chulies are dislodged. Mm-hmm. And according to Bisila, only if one chulie is dislodged completely. So it's like usually Bisila will kill it. Now the Mishnah Etes mentions all the cases where Bisila the machmirim and Bishama will kill it. Why isn't that listed in the Mishnah Etes? So Gemara says, Omer Rav, Ki Yishal, Omer Rav, Omer Rav. Because the same machlokes to Misham Misilel applies to Tumaseil as well. And that chayle, in other words, as we discussed it when we learned at the beginning of the papers, that the question is whether this kind of a deficiency is a basic organic deficiency. If it is a basic organic deficiency, some mele, if one chulye is missing, so then it's an incomplete spine. And an incomplete spine cannot be mitame to mesea, only a complete spine. But if the chisorin of one vertebra constitutes a basic organic deficiency in the spine, so mele it becomes an incomplete spine regarding to mesael, and it becomes trivetur. But the question was presented by the Chachomim in regard to mesael, and there b'sil are the machmirim and b'shamay are the mekirim. So that's the reason as to why it's not listed among the chumres b'shamay, chumres b'sil and kol b'sham. Kishal itumich. So the havel b'sham lechum. The Rashi. If the skull was shattered in the major portion, boy, Rav Yomie, Rav Gevo, Rav Kefo. When it says Berubo, does it mean Rav Gevo, that's this way, or Rav Kefo, that way? Narash. Rav Gevo, min ha'naim l'maylo, Rav Kefo, godel m'Rav Gevo. Rav Kefo, godel m'Rav Gevo. Alright. U'bosar achiv, Rav Keres, Berube. So leave the membrane that covers the stomach was nikra, so then it's rave. Now is the peritoneum. Boy Ravashi, bereave korua or bereave not. Bereave not. When it says the bosrachim bereave akeres is berubi is rave, what does it mean? That if the peritoneum is torn open in the major portion of it, so then it's treife. Certainly, when most of the peritoneum is cut out, it's certainly treife. Even if most of the peritoneum is just cut open, so it's treife. If it's cut out, so that's more than that. So it's certainly treife. Oy, believe not. That Shmuel only says that if the peritoneum, if the rope of the peritoneum was cut out, then it's treife. But if the rope of the peritoneum were just cut open, then it's not treife. Bereiv korua, we coach bereiv nitulo. Oy bereiv notu, she nital rube. Avo bereiv korua lo mitre. Alright. Tip shem lo mitna. Keres apnimi she nikro, oy she nikra revachitzein. So the Mishnah uses the Roshi nikra, not nital, but nikra just cut open. Vi amre marove mishnit rabis berchanine, kol akeres kulei zoi keres apnimi. V'izehu keres achitzeino, bozar achiv esriva keres. According to Marove. So b'meile, so it's ein hach. And there the Mishnah says, b'feresh, nikra revachitzeino. So according to the Marove, so it's a Mishnah b'foreshes, that not only if the robe of the peritoneum was cut out, even if it was just, if the robe of the peritoneum was just cut open, so it's also true. So the Gemara says, מיהו דתיימל לשמואל, אומר רב מלאקי בנחמני, אומר שמואל, מוקים שאין במילאס. Because who mentions that גולגל, that בוסר אחי תסריף הקרס ברובי סטריף? שמואל says that. And שמואל happens to disagree with the Marove. You see, the Marove say that קרס הפנימי means the whole woman of the man. And קרס הפצינו means the membrane that covers the woman. In other words, it means the peritoneum. That's according to Marove.
But Shmuel happens to agree with who happens to say that the keres apnimi is mokim shein b'milas. That means that the upper portion of the woman that is not lined with certain hairy-like substances. There's blade-like, because at the lower portion of the woman there are certain projections, hairy-like substances. But in the upper portion of the woman, so that it is not lined by this hairy-like substance. So, in other words, so according to Shmuel, keres apnimi in the Mishnah is reference to the upper portion of the woman. And keres hachitzeino has reference to the lower portion. So when the Mishnah says, according to Shmuel, when the Mishnah says, nikarim hachitzeino, there of course it spells out, torn open, even though it's not cut out, but just cut open. Just cut open, not cut out. So that has reference to the lower portion of the woman, but has nothing to do with the peritoneum. Who equates the keres hachitzeino mentioned in the Mishnah? And there the Mishnah says in so many words, nikra afal pishenu. That is the Mahomet, but Shmuel doesn't agree with the Mahomet. So, according to Shmuel, we can inquire when Shmuel says, according to Shmuel, so the Mishnah doesn't discuss the treife of Nikra, the membrane that covers the sinus. Because according to Shmuel, when the Mishnah talks of keres hachitzeino, it means something else. It means the lower portion of the woman. So, but even though according to Shmuel, this aloche of Bosarachives is not mentioned in the Mishnah, but he himself says that Bosarachives Rivakeres Berube is Matre Beveina. So we can inquire, what does Shmuel mean? Of course, according to Marove, so even the peritoneum was just Nikra, oh, so it's Rivakeres. Allah has come to Hamel, it was cut out. Oh, Masheike, according to Shmuel, so Shmuel mentions that din, and that's a new din by Shmuel. It's not mentioned according to Shmuel in the Mishnah. So maybe we can inquire, according to Shmuel, does it mean that even if it was just Nikari, there was Rachid Sakeres? So it's Freife, or only if it was cut out, the Bosrachid. And Rashi. Rivka wa kosh me mitu lo lo kosh mitu wa mo ko mitu te tik mo rivka wa koma lo ma shi mitu tam fashion live of khitsin live sa khife mi u time ni boy lo rivka wa bin lo to mi shmuel de yom lo ish mai lo so shi nekro u shmuel mi fosh mas ni sik tam ma rove el mo kim shi mi las da hani kher sats me mi u me si fai tre fest di bosa khife amas ni si di mo rit mi rove now the question is if according to Shmuel so this tre of bosa khife es akhiva keres is not mentioned in mishne how does he know that is tre? And so he is Kabbalah. He had a Kabbalah that is like, but it's not to be equated with Nikra Riva Keres. So maybe we cannot be patient from the lotion of Riva Nikra that is mentioned, because the Nikra Riva Keres is reference to something else, to a certain portion of the woman itself, not the membrane that covers the woman. If you made my training, but Sahira is not more immune, it must be my slip is a Vitamas is my slip is a cloud. Oh, so then Rashi explains something else. Now, so, but then you ask, since the Mishnah doesn't mention it, so how can we be basing on the treifes of the Mishnah? So he says that the member of Shmuel is not basing on the treifes of the Mishnah, because even though the Mishnah doesn't spell it out explicitly, but it's included in the general statement of Zachla. Right. Now let's see the Rosh Hamish. Utrusa Saze. The beauty of the Utrusa Saze Bidako, Utrusa Sari Bikas. So according to the beauty, if a behemoth is clawed, if a behemoth gas, let's say an arctic bull, is clawed by zeiv, not by lion, it's not rape.
Now the question is there a machleket between Tanakame and Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda is just explanatory to Tanakame? So the more we'll discuss. Truth is as a Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Bibheimo, min azeiv ulemal, uveifeis min aneiz ulemal, ulemal. So in other words, by Beheime, so which kind of a Beheime can be Deiris? Which kind of a Chayim can be Deiris a Beheime? And be Matrim the Beheime? So that is, if it is, Minazeiv ulemal. Minazeiv ulemal. Of course, a lion, that's Lemailo Minazeiv. I mean, a lion is even more terefes, is more of a higher terefes, is more ferocious than a zebra. So, if a behemoth was clawed by any beast that has the degree of ferocity, of ferociousness, of a zebra or more, so then it's right. But if a behemoth, if a bull, let's say, was clawed by beast that does not have that degree of ferociousness possessed by Zay, so then it's not him. Uveifeis, minaneitz olamai. Neitz is a hawk. You see, I mean that the hawk, he became the symbol of a bird of prey. So, I mean, everybody, an aggressive nation is a hawk. Menachem Begin was characterized not only by Gentiles, but even by so-called Jewish communal leaders as the chief hawk in Israel. Why? Because the hawk, obviously, the hawk is a very aggressive bird. So, Beifeitz minanei tzolemai. So, in other words, that if an off was nidras by a bird of prey that has the degree of drisus of a hawk or more, so then it's trained. But if an off was nidras by a bird of prey that has a lower degree of drisus than a hawk, so then it's not trained. Limutemai. Ilayim, what he says, Bibeim min azeiv ulmailo. But if it's lemato min azeiv, and if a beast that is lemato min azeiv was the reses, so then the behemoth does not become a treifo. What does he have in mind? What does Rav have in mind? Lemutemai. Ilayim lemutechoso. That if a cat clawed a behemoth, if a cat clawed a behemoth, any behemoth, so it's not treifo. So why does he have to tell us that? That's pshitas. Tiyone, utrus hazei. So without Rav's memory of the behemoth min hazei v'mayro, I would know, since the Mishnah says utrus hazei, that only trus hazei is treife, but trus hachoso is not treife. Trus hachoso is not treife. Ile mechol meidu mot hachoso, tiyone utrus hazei v'chitei mehok mashmo. So in other words, and if you are going to say that the reason is why Rav had to tell us is to know that to advise us that a Zay can be matri with its drise even if a Magas. In other words, if a bull was clawed, was literally so. By Zay, by wool, so it's trade. So it's trade. So, Mashay ke vichitem. Hokamashin is in because of Namedoris. Because of Namedoris. So, this is what Rav is saying. Bibehemo minazei for the Mayo. In other words, as far as a behemo gaso is concerned, it can only become trade through the drisas azei for a chayah that is the Mayo. But it cannot be becoming treifor. It cannot be treifor that by triso v'chayo that is l'mato min azeiv. So what now? Rabbi Yehuda Eimer drus is azeiv v'dako, u drus is arim v'gaso. So Rabbi Yehuda says in so many words that a bull could not become treifa even if it is clawed by wolf. Only if it is clawed by lion and a reed. But not if it's clawed by a wolf. So the mele, the question arises, since when the Mishnah says Trusa Sazeim, it has reference to Trusa Sazeim Bidak. But Trusa Sazeim Bigaso, so it's not treif. It's not treif. So when the Mishnah says Trusa Sazeim that it's treif, it means Trusa Sazeim Bidako. So then it's explicit in the Mishnah that Trusa Sachoso, even Bidako, is not treif. Because Bigaso, you couldn't say that when the Mishnah says Trusa Sazeim is a treif, it has reference to Bigaso. So then, a gaso can become a treifo only through drusas azeim. But a gaso could not become a treifo through drusas choso. Masheinke, idako could become a choso. I could say that idako could become a treifo even by drusas choso. So that's why Rav has to tell us the chiddush that even idako couldn't become a treifo through drusas choso. But you couldn't say that. Because even without Rav's memory, I would know that a dako, even a dako could become a treifo through drusas achoso. Because the Mishnah mentions that only drusas azeim dako becomes a treifo. But so that means drusas achoso dako does not become a treifo. So it's a Mishnah of Reshes. So why does Rav have to tell us that? We retain Rabbi the Lifnik Polak. So now it's only Rabbi Yude says that Drusa Hazeiv is matri for only Dako, not Megaso. But Anakami is Chelik, and he holds that Drusa Hazeiv is matri for Megaso. So maybe I could say that Drusa Zachoso is can be matri in a Dako. So that's why others tell us no, that Drusa Zachoso is not matri even in Dako. Because if Rav didn't tell us, I wouldn't know it from the Mishnah. So he says, "V'chitayim Rabbi the Mifrit Polik, v'yomer Rabbi Yomer Bayefes, Omer Rabbi Omer Rabbi Lozer." So Rabbi Shmuel Karmel Lozer, and Rabbi holds the Lizim Achleikets between Tanakam and Rabbi Yude. Rabbi Yude holds that a Zeiv can only be matriv, Drusa Zeiv can only be matriv in a Dako, not in a Gaso. But the Tanakhama holds that a Drusa Zeiv can be matriv even in a Gaso. So the Mele, it seems according to the Kame. Since Rav holds that according to the Kame, a Drusa Zeiv can be matriv even in a Gaso, so Rav has to tell us this Chiddush. If Rav didn't tell us, I could make the mistake and say that Drusa Zeiv can be matriv even in the Gaso, but Trusa Sachosu can be matri in Dako. So Rav tells us, no, Trusa Sazeiv can be matri according to the Nekame, even in the Gaso, but Trusa Sachosu cannot be matri even in Dako. But if Rav didn't tell us, I would say, Trusa Sazeiv can be matri in the Gaso, and Trusa Sachosu can be matri in Dako. So Kamash Melo Rav, no, Trusa Sachosu is not matri even in Dako. Even in Dako. That's the first part. So the second motion says no, that Rav is not chilek on Rabbi Lozor, and Rav agrees with Rabbi Lozor that Rabbi Yude is only explanatory of the Rabbanon, the Tanakame. But then you ask, if he's only explanatory of Tanakame, Rabbi Yude says in so many words that Drusa Sazeiv is only matriv nidako, but Megaso not. So why does Rav have to tell us this chiddush, that Drusa Sachosu is not matriv? I mean, the Mishnah says that Drusa Sazeiv is matriv nidako. And so that means that Drusa Sachosu is not matriv nidako. So it's a Mishnah for Eshes. The answer is, no, I could say that even though the Mishnah uses the Loshi, Drusa Sazeiv, and that means only nidako, but not, the Mishnah doesn't try to advise us that only Drusa Sazeiv. The Mishnah mentions Drusa Sazeiv because that's the Ulche. I mean, usually a behemoth becomes Nidras through a Zeiv. But the same thing, if a behemoth will be Nidras through a Choso, the same thing. But the Mishnah doesn't mention Drusa Choso because that's a highly unusual. Because what is a Choso? a chosel really is a domesticated tiger. So in Mele, it's not usual for a chosel to be daylights. But if it happened, so it's also treifa. If a chosel was daylights, a behemodan. Maudi teime, uch in Lutratone, komashmo, or I crash. Ja, sie wo mal aber drusse, sie beklauen, sie wo mal den Lehres, hat sie kommen, nehmen wir Eifes, und Eifes an den Grossin, und am Metzl Meirul ist, rückkehr ich mit Riss, Eif habe ich rein, bricht ihm, wie wir aber, mein Eifes, und am Abend Riss, und da, und was ließen, komm an Schmelon, und was ließen, komm an Schmelon, die sehen, was für die Gas und Amel Dorisch, und da, die Gas und hat sie, da war ein Kamekom, ist der Bläser, hat der Rav, der Rav soll, der Rav, wie der Polik, dann kam er für die Gas, und sie, Rav, was Schmelon, und sie wo mal, da, für die Dacken Amel, und ich habe mich im Gas, Dako aflo chosl naame. Die boi seime leu maslis naame mait chosl. Aflo mi Dako. Die seib gupe diktone mi Dako koma, ke rabi omi. Wie os raf nifru shi di davke no ket seib maslisi. Mau etei maai no ket seib shi nuch mi hidras. Ule lo ma adil chosl koma ashmo raa. So that means that everybody agrees that if a behemer, even a behemer Dako, let's say like sheep, so will be clawed by a cat, so it doesn't become free. אומר רב אדרם, אומר רב חיסדה, דרוסס חוסו נמיו, בגדו ימות לאים, דרוסס חוטו באפס, איפי חוסו יקט, איזדי רייס, גדו ימות לאים, נאו, גדו ימות לאים, לגמורי קורס, דקו שבדקס, נאו, יש דה פרי קטגוריס, there is gases, like bulls, and then, There is dakes, sheep, and then there is doim utroim. That's dakes and dakes. So trusas chosul mio big doim utroim. So a cat can be dairies and make treife doim utroim. The mio is called in English, I think, mat. It's like a weasel, but it has a lot of fur. Mat, M-A-R-T-E-N. That's the meal. So in the meal can also be the race. Dakis and Dakis. Dakis and Dakis. We do it with loy. To us as Chuldo babies. Chuldo is a weasel. A weasel cannot be the race. If a weasel is the race, a behemoth, even Dakis and Dakis, it does not become free. But enough, if a weasel is the race enough, so it becomes free. Means דרוס אז חוסל נאיץ ונמיו, עד שתינוקי וחולו. So only if we saw that it lit in a cave in the whole agub. אבל דרוס או, if we just saw that it was flawed, by חוסל, by נאיץ, by נמיו, then let's look, ותסברה, let's לוי דוריס, ועד נאמו דרוס סנאיץ. הולי קשה, קם באפס, קם בגדויים ותלויים. So, in other words, when does the Mishnah say that a nate, a hawk, if a hawk is dairies, so it becomes treife if a hawk was dairies enough. But if a hawk would be dairies, a kid, doim utloim, so a little lamb, so then it would become a treife. It would become. But mikol mokei, we rafriz de kashi. But rafriz de says, drusas choso, and here there is it's mifuresh that drusas choso uneitz unimio, so only achinake v'chol but drusa resu, so it's kashe bezafiz. Who do ama kai tan? Itanye. Who do ama kai tan? So in other words that Rav Chisde holds with Berebe. That's the name of Itani. Itani Berebe Imei, Yom Yomre in Drusso, Yom Mokim Shei Matzilin, Avo Yom Mokim Shei Yish Matzilin, Yish Drusso. So, let's see the Rashi. Malite Imei, Hai Bino Kazei Mishin Duruch Lemitres, Ulei Mimadino Chosko Mashon Rav, Yubiyo Chayo, Yishim Shei Mat, Mat, the same word. In other words, when does Rav Chisde say that the chosel can be the race? let's say, any kid or a little lamb. But lambs and a rochel, so sheep, he cannot be there. In other words, so a chosel, it all depends. Why is it so? Because actually, a chosel originally a chosel. Basically, originally a chosel is a tiger, but it's a domesticated tiger. So in Nisa Mashiach, so all the tigers will be even more peaceful than all the cats today. So, but it's basically a chosel is a tiger. Now, a tiger certainly is capable, has the potential of injecting venom, a tiger. But a chosel is a cat, is very civilized, so a melee doesn't inject its venom. Why? Because a cat is disciplined. But if a cat, for some reason, loses its temper, then the tiger of the cat comes to the foreground, then it can inject venom. So when Rav Chisda says, so when does a chosel lose its temper? If the chosel is trying to eat a certain victim, and the chosel sees that victim has many defenders, many matzil, so then the chosel becomes very irritated, and then its real potential comes to the foreground. Then it can inject its venom. So when Rav Chisda said, "Tuchusas chosel bigdoyim udloyim," but even when the chosel does inject its venom, the venom is not sufficiently strong to kill, to destroy a beim gaso, even a beim dako. But when the chosel does galvanize its potential, so then it can destroy dakim shebedakim. So Rav Chisda b'sheyesh matzil. So when does a chosel lose its temper? Only when the chosel sees that they are matzili for its victim. Alright. I think I told you once. My mother, Zechem Lebroche, I mean, before I was born, many years ago, so he tried to save a cat that was falling into a trap. So my mother tried to save it. So the chosel became so angry at my mother. So with its paws, it clawed my mother's hands, and then my mother was seriously sick for many, many weeks. That was in Tsarist Russia. I mean, but she was very critically ill. I mean, because when a cat, I mean, there are statistics. When a cat becomes very angry, a cat is a very ferocious animal. A dog, as the Gemara will point out, a dog, if it's not a mad dog, so it's not a dangerous animal. It couldn't hurt anybody. Even if it bites, it couldn't hurt. But a cat, if it becomes very excited, is a very dangerous animal. I mean, so you see that when it becomes very irritated, the cat, so then with its venom, it can kill Dakin Shabidakis. Alright. Lo Yomu, so he said, Who cares? Avomokim Sheish Lomatil, who cares? Vishli Eres Hosok, Uchemakim Vitsipiren, Mashli Bo Eres, Udrafriz de Bishayish Matsi. Now the more has the kasha. Uvimokim sheim atzil in intruso. In other words, a cat can only inject its venom if yesh matzil. But if eim atzili, not. In other words, so then the cat has peace of mind and it doesn't lose its temper. Vo ahi tamigeles, have the Rav Kane. There were certain Tanigilis by Rav Kane. The Ruat Chosel Basro, the cat was chasing it. The only Drunen. So he's trying to escape. The Tanigilis was trying to escape from the cat. So it entered a certain house, a certain room. The Yishad Doshebab. And the Tanigilis entered the room, and the door was shut in the face of the cat. So the cat became very angry. The cat became very angry because the cat was trying to get a hold of the Tanigilis, and then the Tanigilis escaped from the cat, and the door was shut in its face. So it let out its wrath on the door. Umachya lidashe, so it struck the door with its paw. Bisechufe. So with its paw, it struck, the cat struck the door. Couldn't strike the Tanigilis. So it struck, in its anger, it struck the door. Vishtaka halo hamishe kotedom. So 5 drops of blood, one it found on the door. I mean, from this Gemara, it appears that when a wild beast kills a behemoth by injecting its venom, so it actually injects its venom by discharging drops of blood into the blood system of the behemoth. So in other words, that this is because the Gemara proves that the cat discharges venom. Where do we see that it discharges venom? We found drops of blood on the door, on the handle of the door. So we found drops of blood. So that's a raya that it discharges venom. So obviously, the venom is discharged by discharging drops of blood into the circulatory system of the behemoth. Circulatory system of the behemoth. So it poisons the whole system. So this is how it operates. But anyway, here, there were no matzilin. There was no matzilin. I mean, it's a... The Makshe assumed that it's a klal only that the cat injects its venom only when the victim has no matzilin. But in this case, only when the victim has matzilin, then it's capable of injecting its venom. But in this case, the Tanigilis had no defenders. Fortunately, the door was shut as it entered the room. So it was saved, it was spared an attack by the cat. But it had no matzilin, So Mimele, according to the Klal of Rebbe, so it should not have been capable of discharging its venom. And we see that it did discharge its venom, and that manifests itself in the discharge of drops of blood. So the Gemara gives a very simple teret. So the Gemara says, "Hatzolus atzmo namik hatzolus acherim." It's not that a cat discharges its venom only when it sees that they are matzilin. When it sees that the victim has matzilin, then the cat becomes very frustrated and very excited, and it loses its venom. But even in this case, so true that Anagilis had no matzilin. But it was analogous to the case where it had matzilin. Why does the cat lose its temper where the victim has matzilin? Because then it becomes very frustrated. So if the victim has no matzilin, so then the cat is very hopeful and confident. So melee has no reason as to why it should lose its temper, it should become excited all of a sudden. Mashenke, if the cat sees that a certain victim after whom he chases, so has matzilin, so it becomes frustrated, it becomes excited, and it loses its temper, then it injects its venom. But in this case, even though the Tanigilis had no matzilin, but it was analogous to a case where it had matzilin, because the cat felt equally frustrated by virtue of the fact that it wasn't able to reach its victim. So Mamele, this galvanized its potential of discharging its venom. She atzmo atzalas. She atzmo Chamisha kote domer, Rashi says, Eres shel chomish etz bois. Hatoles atzmo, shi atzmo matzeles gufo brachas. V'rabonon. V'rabonon. Now, the Rabbonon are chilek kamerem. When, and they say that only Berebbe, Rafchir, they agree with Berebbe. But the Rabbonon are chilek kamerem. And the Rabbonon hold that a cat cannot be dearest, even dakim shem dakim. So that means that the Rabbonon hold that even in the case where the victim of the cat has no matzil, has matzilin, a cat is still incapable of injecting its venom. So then the question is, against the Rabbonon of the Rebbe, here we see that we found on the handle of the door, we found drops of blood. That's a manifestation of the venom that was discharged by the cat. So it's a kashe against the Rabbonon of the Rebbe. From the point of view of the Metzias, I mean, we have a fact. Here we saw an empirical kashe against the Rabbonon of the Rebbe. So that's the Gemara's kashe. The Rabbonon, so the Gemara gives a teretz. The Rabbonon, Zira Yisrei, will recall a Zira. In other words, it has venom, but it cannot burn, it cannot destroy. So it has venom, but it's not fatally poisonous. I mean, that venom. So we saw the drops of blood that was the discharge of the venom of the cat, but it cannot burn. Isle Zira will recall. So in other words, we can say that Rav Chi is the Afilun Mokim Sheim Atzinu Koma. The Yeish Drusi. Who must listen to Nokat Zeiv, Mishunim Rav Re Nokat. Who must listen to Nokat. Ach Nokat Vichol Berebehi. The Mokim Sheim Atzilin, the Rabbonon Kligal. Vahit Al-Gilens, the Havet Rav Kane, the Roat Chosel Basro, the Holy Tunem, the Yisrael, Doshe Ba'apim, Chayel Doshe Bisechufe, the Yishtakach Alei, Chamisho Kodidome, I mean, a chosel cat is much more ferocious than a chuldo, a weasel. So when he asked him, yeish drusu lechosel, yein drusu lechosel, Omalei af lechuldo yeish drusu. So then he asked, yeish drusu lechuldo, or yein drusu lechuldo, Omalei af lechosel yein drusu. Lechosel lechuldo yeish lem drusu, or yein lem drusu, Omalei lechosel yeish drusu lechuldo yein drusu. So I mean, so he was saying to himself, no ikash, he wasn't saying to himself. He didn't contradict himself. So he says, the pshat is as follows. It all depends upon the circumstances. Hode Omalei, all the answers are correct. So when he gave the answer that he made less ferocious animal than a cat, a weasel, which is much less ferocious, so he has can be raised that in end. So he says, of course, so he meant babies. That's tamdaki, that's rams. That's what he said.
Drusus and Eitz. Oh, so we see only Drusus and Eitz, and the Drusus and Eitz is a highly ferocious birthday. But the other if it's made, who are not as ferocious birds of prey as a hawk. So they cannot be terrorists in the matrim. So the more you deter it, no. Drusus and Eitz with Chavosim. We know the Zutramanai. In other words, a Neitz, a hawk, is such a ferocious bird that it can be deiris, even a bird who is as large as the hawk itself. Mashenki, not a bird, not a hawk. So they cannot be deiris in the matri, a bird who is just as large. But smaller birds, other birds, can also be deiris in the matri. Tu zanei l'chavosi, we know the Zutramanai. Vikidamre, tu zanei l'robiminai. A hawk is such an aggressive bird of prey that it can be deiris even a larger bird than itself. Machen kein, other birds of prey, they can be deiris only birds that are as large as they, but not birds that are larger. Omer Rav Kane, Mishmir Rav Sime Barashi. In Druso we show a fox cannot be dangerous. If a fox claws a behemoth, it's not right. Amy Vokos Rabdimon, a mighty Dorashuo, Roche will be mechot, shall be seen, who will mighty Hakon Gamuyeshuso. Oma, Rav Safre, Hai Hosla. It wasn't a fox, it was a cat. Ike Damre, Oma Rav Kalimish, Rav Sine Barashe, Yeshuso, we show. We show the fox. Amy Bokos Rabdim Oma Maisel Dora Shua Roche and Merol Messine, who go Maisel Mechachomim, Bom Hindruse, Oma Rav Safre, Harut Kelevar. So, in other words, we see from this Gemara that the term Shua sometimes can be applied to a cat and it can be applied to a fox. It can be applied to a fox. But the halacha is that a kelev cannot be deiris, and the chosel can be deiris. Omar, Rav Yosef, Naktin on Intrus of a kelev. A kelev cannot be deiris. Omar Rabbi, Naktin on Intrus of Yad. La Fuke Regel, I mean, Yad, that's the foreleg. In English, we don't call hands and legs of a behemoth. Forelegs and hind legs. So yeah, that's the foreleg, and the regel, that's hind legs. So the druso can be only done by the paw in the hind leg, but not by the paw in the foreleg. Laktin druso biyad. I'm sorry. I mean that a druso can only be done by the paw in the yad, in the foreleg, but not by the paw in the hind leg. In Drusa be Yad, Lafuke Regel Deloy. In Drusa be Tzperen, Lafuke Shem Deloy. Suppose a lion bit with its teeth a behemoth. It wouldn't become clean. Only when it was clawed with its paw. Because the paw injects the poison, not the teeth. Lafuke Shem Deloy. In Drusa be Midas. Lafuke Shem Midas Deloy. In Drusa be Mechayim. Now, what does it mean? How can a dead lion be deiraised? The answer is, so the Gemara at first thought, I mean, the maskon of the Gemara is that it doesn't mean that a dead lion, it was done by a dead lion. The maskon of the Gemara is that the lion, while the foreleg was attached to the lion, so it started to inject its venom. And then before it took out its paw from the behemoth, so the foreleg was cut off. So mess means that the behemoth was mess. It was cut off. This is the maskonet. But the more in Halami assume that it had reference to a mess mamish. Now, how could we visualize that a dead lion would be there? A dead lion cannot be there. Well, so what the more I thought at first was that it means that if somehow a dead lion was thrown upon the behemoth, suppose it was thrown, somebody took a dead lion with its paw
and injected the paw of the dead lion into the lion, so it doesn't become pregnant. Because since the lion is dead already, so then it doesn't have any belly. It doesn't have any belly. This is what Gemara assumed at first. So Gemara says, element is, so Gemara says, Omar Abai, Tina, into some Yad Afrika, and away, into some Spear Afrika, and away, into some Dal Afrika, and away, into some Chai Afrika, and Hamis Lay, Amr, Hashi Shalidas, Amret Loy, Lachamis and Boy. So why don't they tell us? Even while it's alive, but if unintentionally and inadvertently the lion injects its paw, puts its paw into the bay, into the organism of the behemoth, so it cannot inject its venom. If a person throws a dead lion upon a behemoth, so it's obvious that that it couldn't discharge its venom. So why does Abai have to tell us that? Abaye is reference to the case where a lion put its paw into the organism of the baby, and then somebody came and cut off the foreleg, the yard of the lion. So by the time the paw was taken out from the baby, so that paw had no life because it wasn't attached to a living beast, so mele, the venom couldn't be discharged. It's the dog is supposed to be on it. Mali thing, but the dog is shot a zire, komashmo. But how did he show it? Shot a zire. All right. Now, for Friday, so you should be prepared up to. The Gemara that Nundal of the Mubeis, at Hamat Yachsa, and then you should go over the Gemara of Mital Atchil, and then you can skip. And you go over of Mital Atchil, that in Hei Nundal, up to the next mission of that Mubeis. Nundal. Omar Rabbe Barabim, Omar Rabbe. Arim Shenichnas Levin Ashro, if a lion entered a stable with oxen, we need to prepare and begabish our hand, and we found the tzipirin on the back of one of the oxen. So we don't have to be cheshish lest this shayir was clawed by the ari. My time, even though we know that he was in the stable, my time, ribaroi is there. See. Umiton einen derse. The whole idea is in Zippon and Nishmetz. And here it was Nishmet. So that's a raya. Wieso is so you be Zipperes? Yeshemes Levi Gabe, Eima Bekeisel Ischache. That how was the Zippera Nishmet? As a result of the lion rubbing himself against the wall. So, Adarabe, the Gemara is the Kashe, Reib Shvorin Ischachechi. Umiton einen Ischachechi. וכל המשחחך אין ציפרי ישב אצלו ביגע בי, וזה ראו בציפרי ישב ביגע בי אימר. ארידור סי, so איקל מי מהוכה, איקל מי מהוכה, איקל מי מוצח הזוק, הפה לסוף יקטרוסה ורב לטיימי, דיו אומר אין חישי מוצח יקטרוסה, but we passed in the חישי מוצח יקטרוסה. אומר רבי, לא ימורון אלו ציפרי, אבל מוקם ציפרי, חישי. In other words, not that we found the Tzipere, but we see signs on the shear's back. We see signs, marks of the Tzipere and of the Ari. So then we are certainly Cheshish, because if we find the Tzipere itself, so that's a raya that the Ari wasn't there, because had the Ari been there, he wouldn't, so the Tzipere wouldn't have been Ishmet, wouldn't have slipped off. But if we just see the marks of the Zipere, so on the contrary, that's a raya that there was, it is. The Zipere name lo yamoron elo lach, if it's moist, if the Zipere that was nismat is moist, avol yiveishe, but if we say that it's a dry Zipere, then there is no raya that there was no drisi. Because we see that the tzipirin of the lion was very dry, and it's a dry tzipirin is likely to slip off. אבל אני ואין שעבידי במשתם. ולאחו נאמה לו ימורון אלו חודי. אבל תרתי, אבל תרתי, ותלת, but if we find on the gab of the axe, more than one zipere, two, three, חיישינו. ויהו דיקאי מבידור אין לסיכות. Only if the two or the three ציפונאים of the lion are, I mean, in the order of the the way the lion has it. Midorah disechut. She'in deiz b'gav asher kiseida she'in zduriz b'yadari. Itma. Now, so this memory of Rav is based upon the premise that ein cheshi she'in misafitrosim. But there is a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Itma. Rav omar ein cheshi she'in misafitrosim. ושמואל אומר חי שמסופי תרוס דקול על מסופי כל סופי קלויו אין אלויו if let's say that we saw a lion, someone observed a lion walking around the stable of the oxen but no one saw whether he entered the stable or not so then since it wasn't seen entering the stable אין אלויו so then everybody agrees that we don't have to be chishish, just because he was walking around in the vicinity. Sofi kalbe, sofi kshunre, eime kalbe. Now, if we know that a certain behemoth was clawed, but the sofi is whether it was clawed by a caliph. Now, a caliph does not inject any venom, even in dakim shebedakis, even in gdoyim kloyim. A cat, can inject venom. The cholapoches in dakin shebidakin, in doyim ploy. So, if we know that a certain behemoth was clawed, but the question is, was it clawed by a kelim, or was it clawed by a chosu? So, sofi kalbe, sofi kshundre, eime kalbe. Now, why? I mean, so even the one even according to Shmuel, as we pass through the Cheshlin of Intruse, so why do we attribute to the Caliph? If Cheshlin is of Intruse and it's a Sophic, the answer is because while a cat is capable of injecting its venom, but a dog not, but usually a cat is civilized. In other words, so a cat doesn't claw, only when it loses its temper. So it won't be served. So Mimele, if we know that one of the two clawed, and we don't know whether it was a dog or a cat, so we presume that it was a dog because a dog is not as civilized as a cat. So that's why, even according to Shmuel, we don't have to be chishish. Ol shosik ve'eser v'naye, suppose the lion entered the stable of the oxen and he sat between them, and nothing was heard, I mean, all was quiet. So then we say, Eima Shalmeshov. So then we say that he was a peacemaker, the lion. In other words, since we didn't hear any roaring by the lion, nothing. So then we certainly don't have to be chishish. Maybe there was a truce. Kota reish lechad minaye. So noch meritche. Suppose we know that the lion was in the stable. And we also know that he beat off the head of one of the oxen. The other oxen. So of course, this axe is certainly also machile. But as far as the other oxen are concerned, they are mutar machile. Because since we know that he is kotarish and echad min haye, so in other words, he was already pacified, he was already appeased. So there is no reason as to why we should anticipate. Maybe he clawed another axe also. Suppose people were standing outside, so they heard the roaring of the lion and the lowing of the cattle. So we don't have to anticipate less. He was there and swung the axe. In other words, they were just frightening each other. So when is the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel? Kiplige diu koshosik, viru come kalker. In other words, the lion was quiet. We didn't hear any roaring of the lion. But we heard the lowing of the cattle. Malsova, Shmuel says, that we have to anticipate the possibility that the reason as to why they were lowing even, and he was quiet, because Maisa called. So they were lowing because he was theirs. He was theirs, the cat. And he had no reason to as to why he should roar. I mean, everything went well his way. Marsov Maisikov, this is what Shmuel says. Marsova, we don't have to be Cheshish. Mach must be Yisuse Ukuduka. Mach must be Yisuse Ukuduka. Out of fright, they were lowing. All right. Omar Ameima, Hilchese, Cheshish in his Ophitus. Even though the general rule is that Hilchese Rabbi is Sore, so he should pass like Rav, but here, the Gemara passes like Shmuel. Omar le Rav Asher Ameima, Hai de Rav Mai, what Rav says, that in Cheshishim, Omar le Lishmiel, Kleima le Svira. Vi boy say me, Hoda be Rav le Gabi Shmuel. That Rav himself ultimately conceded to Shmuel that Cheshishim is Ophitus. Tahu, why do we say that Rav himself conceded to Shmuel? The Ahu Serakfe, that's a basket that was packed with the fowl, and then a hawk entered that basket. Sarakve the Sophic Drusis, the Oselikam. Now we don't know what the hawk did, but he entered that basket. So the question is, was the hawk there is the fowl or not? The Oselikami the Rab, Shadrinolikami the Shmuel. So it came, the Shaila was presented before Rav, so he submitted the Shaila, he sent it to Shmuel. Chankinu vishadinu binar. So when it was presented to Shmuel, Shmuel had them killed, and then had them thrown into the river. Vi salted aitoch lihodabe lishril. And if you say that Rav, I mean, was not Chesed. So when the Shiloh was presented to him, he should have passed in Kleheter. Elomai Hodobei, Vesrinu. So what do you say? That he was Chesed, so he was Chesed, so he held like Shmuel. So you should have asked, why did he forward it? Why did he submit the Shiloh to Shmuel? Elo, Asre, the Shmuel Habe. So even though the Shiloh was presented to Rav happened to be, usually Rav wasn't so, but sometimes he happened to be in Adoya. So while he was in Adoya, that was the Asra, the mocking of Shmuel. So that child was at first presented to Rav, but since Shmuel was the Morad Asra, so he didn't want to pass him, so he sent it to Shmuel. El Asra di Shmuel, Asra di Shmuel, Lomoli le Michnike lishdeine. So why did he have to have them choked, killed? He could have thrown them in the river? No. So the answer is no, then it would have been a mirshul, mipchechem visalke. If he hadn't killed them, so they might fly away, they might fly away, and then somebody will eat them. So, vilishinu shnimos achidech, let them store the fowl for 12 months. So then with Miraye, it was a sofik drusa. We didn't see the hawk being there is the fowl. But maybe the hawk was there is. So we could have kept them for 12 months, then it would have been a raye. That it wasn't interest because had it